Hey, what's up, guys? John here. The real reason the Federal Reserve just slashed interest rates is what every American needs to pay attention to.
Federal Reserve cut its benchmark interest rate for the third time this year, citing a cooling job market.
They voted 9-3 to cut rates again, even though inflation is running red hot.
We have lowered our policy rate 0.75 percentage point over our last three meetings.
And then they quietly announce that they're going to turn the money printer back on. Not in name, of course. They don't say they're going to go back to QE. They dress it up with a new name called Reserve Management. But starting today, the Fed is going to buy $40 billion of treasuries every single month. That is money printing, period. So the big question is, why would the Fed cut interest rates and print money at the same time? Unless something underneath of the economy is way worse than they're revealing. Remember last month, they didn't want to release any of the data showing what's happening inside of the economy. It was all swept under the rug, never to be exposed, because that data was too shocking for most people to see, the real data. Talking about affordability, talking about consumers, talking about debt, talking about the job market. It's all in a really, really, really bad spot. Not half as good as they'd like you to believe. And by the end of this video, you're gonna see exactly why the Fed is panicking and what that means for you. So here's the part that doesn't make sense on paper. The Fed keeps saying that the economy is resilient. They're literally projecting a higher GDP next year. They're saying unemployment will stay low. They're acting like everything is fine. But if this economy is so strong, then why are they cutting rates earlier than expected? Why are they printing $40 billion a month? Why was that vote split 9-3? With multiple Fed officials worried that this might be the wrong move.
We are hearing from some of the hawks who dissented this week. Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee and Kansas City Fed President Jeff Schmidt both laid out their cases this morning as to why they preferred not to cut rates this week.
It's because the numbers underneath the headlines are getting ugly and fast. Consumers are breaking. Household delinquencies just hit the highest level in years. Credit card defaults are climbing every month, and auto repossessions are back to 2009 levels. And the average American has so little money left after paying for rent and utilities that one small misstep could mean eviction. And the Fed is looking at all this data in real time. They see spending slowing. They see job openings evaporating. They see full-time jobs being replaced by part-time work. They see people financing groceries and installment plans and buy now, pay later options because the income that they do earn no longer is enough to get by. So yes, they can say that the economy is strong, but the average American is a flashing warning sign. And when that consumer breaks, so does the economy. And that is why the Fed slashed interest rates and opened up quantitative easing again under a new term before the rest of America sees it. Now let's talk about the part of the economy that every American sees every single day. That's the affordability crisis. Because this is the real crisis in America. This is the part the Fed does not put into projections. And politicians definitely don't talk about it. Look at housing. Home prices are up more than 35% since 2019. Mortgage rates came down a bit recently, but it doesn't matter. The monthly payment on a starter home is double what it used to be. Sellers are not cutting prices voluntarily. They're just delisting, quiet delisting, taking their homes off the market. Try again in the spring. And the renters are getting hit even harder. Half of all Americans right now are considered cost burdened. That means more than 30% of their income goes directly towards rent and utilities. And for low-income renters, after rent, they have about $250 left to get by throughout the rest of the month. Food, gas, kids, emergencies, everything. And then you add in grocery costs. Inflation may have slowed, sure, but wages never kept up. And the prices, they sure didn't come down. Food is up almost 30% since 2019. Car insurance up. Property taxes up. Property insurance up. A simple trip to the grocery store for most people now feels like a luxury event. So when the Fed says that we expect Americans to feel better as wages rise, you have to ask yourself, rise compared to what? Because if your rent is up and your groceries are up, your car payment is up, and your wages are flat or on a downtrend, you don't feel like you're in a recovering economy. Some would say they feel like they're falling behind month after month. And that's why the Fed is making moves that feel so desperate. They're trying to fix an affordability crisis without openly admitting that we have one. Now, the Fed keeps repeating this one line. The labor market is strong. But if you talk to actual people, or you look at the actual data they do not put in the press release, the job market is not strong. It's quietly cracking. First, full-time jobs have been quietly shrinking. All of the growth that's been reported is part-time work. The people working 2, 3, sometimes 4 gigs just to keep their head above water to make the next payment. That's not strength. That's survival mode. Job openings are down millions from the peak. Companies are not hiring, they are tightening. Layoffs in tech, finance, logistics, manufacturing, it's all happening in slow motion. It's not enough to make the headlines, but it's enough to show that the air is coming out of the balloon. And here's the one big one. Delinquencies are exploding before the layoffs hit. Credit card delinquencies, auto loan repossessions, buy now, pay later defaults, all happening at the same exact time. That's telling you that households are running out of cash before the job market rolls over. The Fed sees this data months before the general public does. They know when companies freeze hiring. They know when payroll growth starts slipping. They know when businesses stop renewing leases, cut hours, or quietly reduce staff. So when you see them cut rates and restart bond buying and deliver divided votes, that is not confidence. That's fear, because they are trying to soften a landing for a job market that's already losing altitude. And if the labor market cracks, like consumers are currently cracking, that's when you get a real recession fast. So why is the Fed doing both at the same time? Printing money and cutting rates, because that almost never happens unless something underneath the system is under significant stress. The official explanation is liquidity management. They say that they're gonna put $40 billion into the system every month so that Americans have enough money to pay their taxes. This is directly from Jerome Powell. Some would say that's harmless, others would say it's ridiculous, but the government is currently spending $1 trillion every 100 days. The Treasury has to sell an insane amount of debt just to keep this thing alive. High interest rates make that impossible. Regional banks, they can't handle this. Commercial real estate can't handle this. And the average consumer definitely can't handle this. So the Fed has two choices. Let the cracks turn into a crisis or start quietly pumping money into the system and hope no one notices. It's easing because the system is fragile. And the Fed is trying to relieve pressure before everything snaps. Here's what most people need to understand. Affordability isn't just a housing problem anymore, it's everything. When groceries are up 30% in 6 years.
Food prices started rising rapidly during COVID, and since then,
the average cost of everyday groceries has risen nearly 30% in the last 5 years.
Among the biggest price jumps, coffee prices have shot up more than 20% compared to a year ago.
And car payments are hitting delinquency levels we haven't seen since the Great Financial Crisis.
Auto loan delinquencies at their highest level since 2010, 15 years ago.
Insurance premiums are up 100, 200%. Some places even more, some places less, depending on where you live, over just the last 5, 6 years.
Homeowners insurance rates are rising across the country. Average homeowner costs have risen nearly 70% over the past 5 years.
And it's not just home insurance, health insurance. Yeah, all bills are up double digits, in some cases triple digits. But real wages haven't really moved that much over the last 5, 6 years. So the only thing giving is living standards. And all these increases stacked on top of each other, it's a big problem for most people. So when the Fed says that Americans will feel better when wages rise, that completely ignores the reality that every single basic expense is eating into those gains. Most people don't feel like the economy is recovering. They feel like it's squeezing them from every direction. And this is where the divide in America gets really obvious, because the Fed's moves don't hit everyone the same way. If you own assets like a home, rental properties, stock, falling interest rates and more liquidity, it's actually a great thing for you. Your property value goes up, your mortgage is fixed, your stocks get a boost, you benefit from inflation. But if you don't own anything, if you're renting and living on credit cards or trying to save in cash, this economy may feel like it's pushing you further and further behind. The same policies that protect the system end up widening the gap between people who already have assets and people who are just trying to keep up with rising prices. That's the real split. Not the rich versus the poor, but the owners from the non-owners. And here's the part that no one talks about. When the Fed cuts rates this early and prints money this aggressively, it creates a temporary window, a moment before the market adjusts, where buying real assets actually becomes easier, but not everywhere. This isn't about Miami or Los Angeles. Those markets have already left most heel behind. There's not an opportunity to buy for the everyday American there. The real opportunity shows up in places that were undervalued before the economy got crazy and are now getting attention because most Americans can't afford to live anywhere else, especially the coastlines. And that's why cities like Cleveland are exploding in popularity right now. You got homes that are still selling for less than $150,000. You got strong rental demand, a strong economy, especially for Section 8, which is what we do. You got strong rental demand, especially from Section 8, which is what we do. You got insurance that's way cheaper than California and Florida. You got replacement cost going up nationwide, but property prices here have not yet caught up. And every rate cut will push more buyers, more investors, and more families into these markets because it's one of the last opportunities in this country where people can actually afford to live. And that's exactly why we're buying here, why we're renovating here, why we're holding long-term. Because when the Fed goes from fighting inflation to stimulating it, the biggest gains always go to the markets that were undervalued before the liquidity showed up. Cleveland isn't reacting to this economy, it's benefiting from it. And this window won't stay open for long. So here's the truth most people don't want to hear in the news. The Fed did not cut rates because everything is great. They cut because the system is under pressure and they are hoping that they can ease it before something breaks in front of the entire country. For the average American, this upcoming year is going to feel like a real squeeze. Higher prices, tighter budgets, jobs shifting, and the dollar will continue to likely lose strength. That part is real. But for the people who understand what's happening, the people who locked in fixed rate debt, that are buying real assets and positioning themselves in markets that are still affordable, this is one of the few moments where this actually all works in your favor. This isn't a time to panic, it's a time to pay attention because the decisions the Fed just made are going to reshape the country over the coming decade. What are your thoughts on this entire situation? What do you think this means for the housing market and the economy? And how do you see the Fed moving over Jerome Powell likely getting removed in the coming months? Do you think we're gonna see more QE, lower interest rates? We're gonna see asset prices soar? Let's talk about it below, and I'll catch you next video.